From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Rink Podcast with Ranger Prow. In between games, in between the Flyer games, we're going to talk the last two games versus Boston, the two games in Boston, and then the game yesterday, or which would be Monday, versus the Flyers. And I was really – how do we go from probably the best game we played all year in Boston – unexpectedly, surprisingly good, the return of Artemi Panarin, and then had a lead in this game. Well, first of all, we were down 2-0 in the Flyer game, had a monstrous, monstrous second period, all right? Took the lead, gave up a goal, took the lead back again, gave up another goal, controlled the overtime, and let me tell you something. I want to hear from the guys tonight. What happened with Kincaid? That outlet pass, I kind of ran about it on social media last night. I'm still kind of not over that. Probably one of the worst outlet goal passes I ever seen. And, well, yeah, we'll put it there. We'll go there. Maybe I ever seen. It's definitely the worst in the last 10 years, easily. I don't know what the hell the Rangers were doing. Kincaid was doing on that. A lot of points to discuss, man. Adam Fox on the COVID list, Buchnevich, DiGiuseppe. I like the line combinations of what I saw since the return of Panarin. We're going to talk about it with the guys, of course, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Prow, RP, Ranger Prow, and Forever Blue Shirts, Empire Sports Media. We'll bring on Glenn after that. RP said hello to the people, sir. How you doing? And let's get to Glenn after that.
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight? It was an interesting night last night, wasn't it?
Yo, what the fuck was that? You saw that, right?
Yeah. Listen, it was a crappy pass, but you want to know something? Panarin tried to cover up for Kincaid. I got to give him credit. Panarin said he tried to bank the puck off him, and he botched it up. I didn't see it that way, but I give Panarin credit. He knew Kincaid was going to get a lot of heat for that play, and... You know, he defended his teammate. Just another thing Panarin did that was, you know, we keep talking about all these good things.
That was a game that could have been Tony D'Angelo route.
That game had the makings of being one of those turning point games for the season. They were down 2-0. They battled back. It was up and down. It was a really good hockey game overall. But not to get the 2 points in the way that it happened, it kind of just emphasizes the piss-poor goaltending the Rangers have had this season, which we never thought we were going to say. And I guess it just clarifies how much they missed a guy like Onquist, even though with his struggles, he's probably still better than the three that we have right now.
Right. All right, we'll definitely lead off with that. Shout-outs to RP. Glenn, what's up, bro? How's everything?
Hey, good, guys. Good to be back with you, Steve, and RP. I guess we had... A roller coaster week since we spoke last that was concluded by quite a roller coaster game. Steve, if that was the worst outlet pass you ever saw, then you never saw me play goal. That's why I just stayed in my crease, made my defenseman skate and come back and get the puck, and I just played goal. That was pretty bad, especially after, like you said, we spent almost the entire overtime in Philly zone. And then to have something fluky like that happen was a tough way to lose a point. And, not just in the standings, but also just emotionally, you just kind of felt let down by the whole effort, you know. And, I think going into the season, we kind of expected that we'd have some ups and downs. And I have no doubt that eventually with this team, there's going to be a lot more ups than downs. But right now we have what we have, and we're just going to have to deal with it, I guess, until they can start putting together strong efforts every game. Talking about those two Pittsburgh games, it looked like the Rangers played one game, and then they They got on a train, came back to New York. A bunch of other guys dressed, including number 10, and took the train back up to Boston. It was a totally different team in the second game against Boston. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about last week was what a difference a guy like Panarin makes during a game, not just himself, but just how he makes everybody else play better. And he's an important part of his team, and hopefully the problems are behind him, and we'll have him for the rest of the season.
You know what, Glenn? You know what? Episode over. Say no more. We're done.
Right? What else to say?
Good night.
It's like the same conversation we've been having all season, right?
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's
actually
the truth, Glenn. I mean, it has been just a roller coaster season, ups and downs. And, you know, one day you play great, two games you play great, and then two games it's like Pee Wee hockey. So I still believe a lot of it has to do with the coaching. And I'm not knocking Quinn, but a lot of it has to do with from behind the bench. Too many line changes, you know, issues with COVID, of course, and goaltending hasn't been where it wants to be. So Quinn has had a lot to handle, some things he knew about, some things he had no idea about, and that's all part of being a head coach. So he's having his growing pains too. I mean, as bad as things are and as bad as this team has played, to only be 6 points out of a playoff spot, as much as we're all saying the playoffs are a fantasy and a dream and it's not going to happen, and we're all probably right, mathematically, they're not in that bad of a spot. You know, the Rangers could put together a couple of 5-6-game winning streak here. We're not talking about this. So it's not over yet, and they have to keep capitalizing, I want to say, on their learning process, learn from these losses. A lot of one-goal losses, you know, you expect the team to get better and to move better, and you see some of that, and then there were games. And it wasn't that they were horrible last night. And, you know, Kincaid was average last night, I thought, which has been a problem all season. It was just one bad pass. We tried to make something out of nothing, and it just didn't work out. Now, if he makes the save, no one's really talking about the horrible pass.
Yep.
You know, we see horrible passes all the time, guys. Let's be realistic. A lot of turnovers, a lot of bad passes up the middle by Ranger defensemen and all.
But that was
bad, when it
man.
Winds up.
That was
right, but when it winds up that it's in the back of your net and overtime from a player that was out on a 1:50 shift, and then to top it off, you got Deke so bad on the play because he's probably thinking, oh, shit, that was such a horrible pass that he wasn't thinking about the play in front of him. A lot of things. So I was trying not to hop on that aspect. Yeah, it was a horrible play, but, you know, when you give up 2 power play goals and you go 0-5 on the power play, that's why they lost the hockey game.
Yep.
That's why it wasn't the Kincaid pass. Everyone, I know that you always remember the last thing, Steve. And England, but they lost that game last night because the special teams on both ends failed. Now, normally a penalty killing is phenomenal. So you're bound to have a bad game. But you had a bad game when your power play was horrible, as always. So there's so many things that are going on. And I guess the bottom line of this is if the power play doesn't get better, they're not going anywhere.
Mm.
They're earning these opportunities. I think Valiquette said they lead the league in roaring penalties, but that's because teams aren't scared to be aggressive with them because they suck on the power play.
So exactly.
There's two ends to that stat that, you know, sometimes they don't bring out. Because when I played hockey, if you're the team was horrible on a power play, we'll take the extra penalty, be more aggressive, make them earn it because they're not going to score most of the time anyway, and that's where the Rangers are.
Yeah. Hold on, RP. Hold that thought. We're going to bring on Lou after this, but I'm going to come back to you. Lou, say hello to the people. How you doing, Lou? Say hello to the people.
Hello,
right, people. Shout out to Lou. Now, RP, I'm going to go back to you, man, because you make good points. This is a carryover from last week, of course, week to week when we talked this stuff with me, you, Glenn. Listen, man, I don't think this is all as lost, man. Panarin just got back, and I said even last week, I can't really give a final verdict on this roster or this team until I see everything in place, meaning as healthy as possible. It's like when one guy gets back, two guys drop, you know, and it's not their fault because of the COVID situation. You know, like, you know, I got to see this team at full strength, but it's hard to say when the season's kind of winding down, you know, you have a shortened season. But with that said, RP, I like what I've seen since the second Boston game. That was as good as a hockey game they played this season. And that's, you know, Panarin's first game back. But what's really telling to me, RP, is Panarin was definitely missed because, yeah, we Kreider stepped up. Yeah, we've seen Strome step up. Yeah, we've seen Keandre Miller offensively do his thing like he's in the second Boston game, right? However, the Rangers are going to be the offensive threat. All you need to do is play the second period of Monday night's game. As bang-bang as that was, Artemi Panarin, back-to-back points. Gucci, the guy we don't ever see, he looked fantastic on that line, man. He looked really good with Hedo and Lafreniere, all right? My whole point, what I'm trying to say is I got to see Fox back. I got to see Buchnevich back with everybody, with Panarin. And I think – we said this on RP. When we are at full strength and you know, when we're at as many pieces as we can get together, we could play with anybody in this league. And that Boston game was not no fluke, man. I don't want to say, okay, yeah, we went in there Thursday and they, you know, it went south real fast. But the bounce back like that with your lead dog, I like what I saw, and I like what I saw in the Philly game. Yeah, you're right. The special teams, especially the power play, is not clicking. It's got to turn. I think it has to turn up. And I saw some breaks where I think it can. And you're right. The teams are not threatened by us. But the PK, for the most part, has held his ground. It's been the best in the league, actually, over the last 10 games.
It has.
The Pasternak power play goal on Thursday, and then I think Farabee last night. It was the only things I've seen given up in the last 10 games. It's been fantastic. RP, please continue. You made great points. Then we can go to Glenn, then we go to Luke.
No, it's just to build on what we were all just saying. The Rangers are 27th in the league on the power play. They're at 14%. It's horrendous. It really is. You know, when you look who's underneath them, I mean, those teams are even worse. But, I mean, no one's worse than Minnesota. But they're all horrible. And five, they're a good hockey club. So for the most part, they're a good hockey club. And they're really good on the penalty killing. So the advantage that you need to take, and other teams are taking, is with the man advantage. And they're just really bad. You know, like they say, oh, Kreider standing in front of that on a power play. But is he really standing in front of the net?
Yeah.
I would see him standing to the side of the net, you know, looking to cut across and get that deflection. And, yeah, I'm the older guy here. I think about what Adam Graves played, and Adam Graves stood in front of the net. I mean, the goalie had to lean left and right to see anything. They do that to the Rangers, but the Rangers never have a guy that stands directly in front of the goaltender. Now, I don't know if it's the setup they have because of the way that they pursue the puck in the corner and they're cheating a little bit to get there or what it may be. But the Rangers' overall power play just has to change. Everything has to change on it. It's not even the personnel. It's how they're doing it. To shoot the puck and get the garbage goals. They don't want a lot of that pretty pass stuff, which looks great, but at times it doesn't work, and the other teams know this. The other teams know the Rangers are pass happy because guys like Devonajad are struggling to score goals. He did it last night several times. You think he has a great scoring opportunity, he's passing the puck. If you don't think the defense and the goaltender are expecting that, you guys are crazy. So he has to start just by surprising the opposition. Take the shot that you don't expect. Take the crap shot from the goal line in the corner. And if he doesn't score it, you'll get a rebound, and maybe they'll score it. They have to change a lot of things up, but they have to find a way to get their power plays and their face-offs better. Because it just doesn't – I never saw at the start of an overtime like last night when the first thing that the letter was saying is they have to win the faceoff. They have to win the faceoff to get possession. And they did. Of course, it didn't turn out in our favor. But it has to come around. And they need to find a way to get their centers better. They need to find someone who could work a power play and figure this out because every combination they put out there really doesn't come together. And it's costing the team valuable points. It just costing the team points now. It's getting late. The Rangers have played 27 games of a 56-game schedule. They're 6 points out. I don't think they've won more than 3 games in a row all season. And the power play just keeps dropping, and the faceoff percentage just keeps dropping. And this is why they're in the spot that they're in. And it has nothing to do with them being young. You could be young, you could be old. If you can win a faceoff, you can't. And things got so bad. Did you guys notice last night? Things got so bad. When they had a defensive zone faceoff with 7 seconds to go, who took the faceoff last night? It was Rooney with Devonajad on the ice.
Yeah.
That tells me there's a problem. Because Mika, and we've always said this, Steve, he's our top center. He has to be our number one center offensive draws, defensive draws. He's got to be the man. Then why is Rooney taking that face off? Now they're telling me that the coaching staff's losing confidence in him too. It's a problem. It really is becoming more than he's just not scoring. Now he's not taking key draws. He's not doing his job on the faceoffs. This quicksand is really sucking him in. So, and that's a leadership that if he was playing better and if things were going our way, the power play would be better. And I don't know if it had anything to do with COVID, and I'm not going to speculate, but he seems a little bit slower this year. He seems to get beaten on plays when you're like, wow, he's got a breakaway and a defenseman catches up to him. It happens more times than not. So there were things that really need to be addressed on top of these stupid trade rumors with Eichel, which we'll discuss later.
Oh, man. Oh, we'll hold on to that. Now, RP, we're going to go to Glenn, but RP, I cannot defend the faceoffs. I'm not even going to try to defend the faceoffs. All right. Now, if this was ever like court, you know, like sports fan court, you're the plaintiff and I'm the defendant. There's no way I'm defending the faceoff. I'll just say no further questions.
They're last
However,
in the league, Steve. They're last in the league on faceoffs. They're 44% on average. 31st, dead last. And they're 27th in the league on the power play. And that's why we're 6 points out of the playoffs. I'm convinced of that.
But RP, I have to play the Perry Mason music because I'm confident.
Say,
I'm going to come back to that.
Yeah, I don't have time to read things today, guys.
I'm
sorry.
I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic, okay. RP. I'll get to it later when I come back to you, man. Glenn, anything else you'd like to add before we go to Luke? Glenn, go ahead, your thoughts on everything RP said or anything you'd like to add, and then we get to Luke, and then I'm going to defend the power play. I'm going to defend it. Watch.
Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, things that help teams win are things that help teams win are, you know, special teams, winning faceoffs, all those little things, you know. And, you know, it's ironic going into the season that a lot of us probably felt that the offense would be okay, the power play would be okay. And, of course, we thought D'Angelo would be around. And, you know, that the defense was going to be young and might struggle a little bit. And it's really turned out to be the opposite, where the defense has been, in a lot of games, what's helped this team win. And just the offense struggling. You know, Zibanejad, I was getting optimistic that at least he was getting some points, that maybe he'd start coming around. You know, I mean, he's not getting impactful points. He's getting the secondary assists, and, you know, he's not getting big goals when we really need him or he's got the opportunity. And that hurts the power play, too. You know, I mean, they have to do something with the faceoffs. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago where I had mentioned that, you know, Drury is in-house. Maybe he can help. Maybe they hire somebody to come in and work on the faceoffs. And they were a little better for a few games, but they've just kind of sunk back again. And it's those little things, the special teams and faceoffs and things like that, that'll just kill you. And that's what's happening to this team right now.
All right. Lou, what's your thoughts, man? What's going on? Your thoughts on the Rangers, and then we'll get back to RP. And I think I have to defend the power play, man.
We'll put it this way, mediocrity at best. I mean, they've had their chances of winning games, and they just can't seem to hold the lead. And, you know, in the overtime, their power play last night, like you said, was awful. Yeah, it was pretty awful. When you go 0-5 on that, how do you expect to hold it, you know, to stay in there and win? You can't. Your opponents are always going to have the best at the end. And Philly last night in overtime, well, they dominated the overtime, and that's how they beat us. You know, I mean, we're not doing that. We're not, well, at least we're at the bottom of the barrel like some other teams, but, you know, we really need to improve on our defense, because our defense right now with the blue shirts is just pathetic. And last night was just another indication. So they really need to step up. I mean, you know, the season's shorter this year. There's no time, you know, to fall way behind. Otherwise, we're not going to make it to the postseason. So we really need to step up our game on the defense. And it's got to start right now.
You know, Steve, there's one thing I might have mentioned about last night that kind of RP kind of got to it, too, that, you know, I felt toward the end of the second period, after a pretty ho-hum first period for the team, after they really came out storming in the second period and took the lead 3-2, I was really feeling good. I was like, boy, we got the Flyers on the ropes right now. We're winning this game going away. And then they take a penalty at the end of the second period and give up that goal to tie it up, and there went the momentum of the second period. Not that they didn't play great in the third period, but they did, and they had chances to win. They had a 4-3 lead. But, boy, that late goal in the second period really just kind of put an end to me, to whatever momentum they had built from that second period. And that hurt, too.
You're talking about the penalty by Nolan Ryan? But Sam Rosen was saying.
Yeah. But that late, yeah. You caught that, too, huh? But, yeah, that late goal in the second hurt.
Yeah, it got a little sloppy towards the end of the second period. I agree, man, because they played a phenomenal – I don't know, like, I know this is something RP always says. Can they play this for 60 minutes game in, game out? I don't know. I don't see it. I would hope so. So at some point, you would hope it would turn on. But Glenn, I'm actually more upset at the start of the game. The first four or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I was actually more disgusted in that than maybe the end of the second period, because at least the second period, they at least played maybe a good 16, 17 minutes of strong hockey. But RPO always mentions, as far as, can we play this for at least 60 minutes? I haven't seen any evidence of that. So, but at least take baby steps towards that, at least get everybody back before I can even go that route. But, to your point, it was a little disappointing. That was probably the third worst thing of the game in my eyes in the Flyer game.
Mm.
The second probably would be the start of the first period, and the first is definitely the overtime, how that ended.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw the remote at the TV at that. That was straight garbage, man. Especially you had to
lose,
gave up the lead, took the lead back, and then controlled the overtime and just lose like that. That is just that's a tease, man. That is a big tease.
It was.
RP, let's go back to you, man. I'm gonna try to defend the power play. I can't defend the faceoff, so you have that, man. But the power play, I would argue and say, the power play up until this point this year has been garbage, absolutely, no doubt. However, I got to see it when Fox is there, when he gets back off the COVID list. Panera's finally back after 19 games. All right, Mika Zibanejad, Kreider, and Strome. And I saw some good things out of Strome on the back end, where he's positioning on the power play. When you have somebody at the point like a Fox who could control it and get things done and skate deep if he needs to skate deep, I think when those five in particular on the first unit are there and they get comfortable, I think they could get on a roll. It's an optimistic point of view of looking at it, but I just don't see where our power play unit, pretty much majority of the season, where it's been all in the same, because it's always been, somebody's always been out, or it's just we haven't drawn enough power plays. Now we're starting to do it because, like you said, teams don't take it seriously. But I think if teams want to dare us to do that, and once we get a flow of a continuity with the guys in the lineup, I think, and I'm not saying we're going to be top 10 this year, I think we could probably at least try to get to the 20th at least, but that still will be improvement. What's your thoughts on that, RP, as far as getting the right guys in there, everybody in there? That's first and foremost, Your best power play units in the league is usually guys who've been intact for the last couple of years. What's your thoughts on that, RP?
You're right, but before Panarin took the leave of absence, and for the most part the team was intact, they weren't doing much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just how I'm looking at it. You want to know something? I think they need to go traditional. I'd like to see Kito, Kako, and Lafreniere with Fox and Miller. I'm tired of the one forward on the blue line. It doesn't work. They only do it because you normally do that because you can't get enough defensemen to hit the net from the blue line, so they put a forward up there who's normally more accurate with the shot. But Miller and Fox are pretty damn accurate with the shot to begin with. And then I know they want to split them up, so they have two good guys on the power play, but it just doesn't work because the second power play unit only normally gets on the ice with 40, 40 seconds, 45 seconds. If they're lucky to go, because the first unit at least tend to get some sort of pressure in there. It's time to change everything that they've done to this point. Right now, I don't see why they don't change and give it a shot. And we know Quinn isn't good with doing that, because they'll put a line out and after 5 minutes say, well, that line sucks, I'm going to go back to what I'm used to again. he needs to change it up. The team has been attacking power play-wise for a lot of the time. They're just not that good on it. So change it up totally. If they're going to stink on the power play, then do it with guys that aren't experienced and they can get some experience out of it. And you can say, well, I'm playing the kids on the power play. Let's see what they got. He's very hesitant to do it. I think last night was the first night we saw Lafreniere in overtime and how long that he was on the ice. He needs to – he's showing confidence in his younger players. He needs to show a little bit more confidence in his younger players. His veteran players have been stepping up, especially when Panarin wasn't around, but not on the power play because these guys are overthinking everything. And I don't think if the Rangers went from 27th to 20th, it's a moral victory, and I've had enough of those.
Dude. Yeah.
Do the job or don't do the job. That's just my look on it. You know, you're fifth in the league on the PK, which is incredible. They're at 85%. They're only 3 points behind the Bruins, who are number one in the league on the PK. How is your power play that horrible? It's not bad. It's horrible.
But you know what's worse about the power play?
Sometimes. What was that?
You know what's bad about, even worse about the power play that we haven't said? It is really killing us. The Pittsburgh game, Boston game, it's the shorthanded goal opportunities from the other team. Okay, you're not even scoring, but then you're even giving up a lot of these chances where teams are scoring on you on a special team.
And that's what happens when you keep playing a forward on the point. It's just a fact. This isn't the first time a team has done it. They've been putting forwards on the points on a power play for years, and you're willing to give up those chances. Now, let's be realistic. When Lundqvist was in goal, especially when he was in his prime, you were willing to give up those chances because you couldn't score on a breakaway against Lundqvist, and early. Okay, so the mentality is different. You have to play the hand that you're dealt. Goaltending is struggling right now dramatically. So, like you said, Steve, how do I give up the shorthanded chances? I put two defensemen on the blue line, which gives me it gives you a better chance of not getting a goal against a shorthanded goal. And not right now what they need to do, because you're right. Even last night, never mind did we go 0-for-5. What did they have? 2 or 3 great A scoring chances shorthanded. You just can't have that. You just can't have that. And it seems to be now. I feel like the Rangers aren't learning from their mistakes as much. And I don't know if it's the coaching staff or the players, but you see the same kind of play over and over. And if we're seeing it, and we're the bloggers and just the fans, you know the coaching staff are picking it apart. You could just see that they're picking it apart. So you need to change the whole thing up, and it's not too late in the season to do it. It's only 26 games in. You're just about at the halfway mark of this. So now make a change. Now try to make a change. But there's just so many things going in the wrong direction.
Who would you use? They
are playing well.
Who would you like?
It's funny. We're nitpicking here things, but they're not playing horrible hockey, but they keep making the same mistakes, and it's costing them points. These other teams are so much better that one little mistake and the puck's in back of our net.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you like to use on the power play then?
I want to see Hedl, Center, and Lafreniere and Gakko with Fox and Miller on the blue line. Try it. Even if it's just
second power play. I see Fox there too.
Try it. I have nothing wrong with Kreider. He's playing really, really strong hockey right now. But if Kreider's supposed to be that guy that's standing in front of the net, well, can someone come and stand in front of the net? Not to the side of the net. You're supposed to be screening the goalie and getting those garbage goals. It's a tough thing to do, don't get me wrong. You're standing in front of these guys taking blasts. I know it's not the easiest thing in the world, but you need to do that. We can't always rely on Panarin. And we saw it that we didn't have him, how much we missed him. But the other teams are keying on him too. So everybody's got to start to step up, and he has to find different units. He has to surprise the other coach. You know, you keep reading on it, and I believe it. A lot of times Quinn's getting out-coached, and it doesn't mean he's making mistakes. It means that he's not, I think it means that he's not capitalizing or taking advantage of the other team's mistakes. He's not trying to throw the other coaches a curveball. You know, I'm going to put these five guys on a power play. No one's seen that yet. Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. Let's see. You know, Hedl was playing really well before he got hurt and when he came back. And before Kako got COVID protocol, he was playing well. And Lafreniere seems like he's ready to go. Well, let's get him the ice time. It can't hurt. You can't keep playing Lafreniere and Kako in these bottom 6 minutes. It's time to – you're supposed to be the coach that is really good with the young players. Well, now it's time when you're not winning games to put them on the ice. And if it doesn't work out, you can change it. God knows he changes enough lines anyway. Then you can change it. But give him a little bit of time and let's see what he can do. We just finished talking about Gauthier. You can't be sitting him. Blackwell can't be. There are some guys that I know it's hard with the Rangers' dynamics. Some guys just can't be sat, in my opinion. Right now, Blackwell's playing better than half the team. You can't be rotating him in and out because you don't have the roster space. Gauthier's right. A goal scorer. When he was in the AHL, he was lighting it up. You saw that goal he scored last night. You've got to keep these guys in a lineup. So if you got to sit Lemieux for 2-3 games in a row, well, then so be it. And if you got to sit Haddon for a couple of games again, well, then so be it. What happened to putting the best guys on the ice that give you the best opportunity to win? Not just putting the name on the ice. And Quinn seems to fall into, if right. I like you, I don't care what you're doing, I'm going to play you. And I like Brett Haddon. I think he's why the penalty killing is where it is right now. But from an offensive standpoint, there are some guys that might be better on the ice. So you have to try to balance it. He seems like unsure what he wants to do. And remember a couple of weeks ago, Steve, we talked about he made a comment, I think it was right after Panarin went on the leave, and he said, well, don't be surprised if I change the lines because we're not really quite sure where we want to go with them. And that was the night before the game. How do you say that? You're the head coach. Aren't you supposed to be showing the confidence? And since that moment, he's just been changing lines after changing lines. And when you win, we're like, oh, that's great. And then as soon as you struggle in the first period of the next game, he's changing lines. He makes Alain Vigneault look great. And Vigneault always changes lines. So I don't know from my standpoint what's going on, but something's got to give because you can't be successful if you keep doing the same thing over and over and you're not successful. And that's where he is.
Right.
All right, let's go to Glenn on that. Glenn, anything else you'd like to add? Blackwell played like 15 minutes. I mean, you wanted to see him get at least another minute or two of time on the ice in a game like that versus Philly. Gauthier probably could have got more minutes as well. He could have had a dug something from somebody on the lineup. What's your thoughts on that, Glenn? And then we go back to Luke.
Yeah, well, I mean, Blackwell's been a revelation this year. So, I mean, I agree. He's a guy that not only gives you some grit, but he's been contributing offensively as well. And, yeah, I think he should be out there. I mean, that Gauthier is very talented. You can see it. It's just, again, the inconsistency, and some of that may be being on the bottom six, not getting a lot of minutes and everything. But, I mean, that goal last night, that reminded me of, like, 2013 Chris Kreider, just flying down the side and just putting his shoulder down and cutting in the middle. The kid's got talent. And it's going to be interesting once these guys are all here. I mean, I understand Kravtsov is in New York. He's got to do the quarantine. So 2-3 weeks he's going to be here. Obviously Morgan Barron is another guy. It's going to be interesting with all these guys coming, how they're going to be able to get them all enough ice time. I mean, we're going to have an incredible third line, whoever is on it, one that can probably match up with any team in the league. There's a lot of good players. I mean, I was hoping, you're talking about the coaching. I was hoping with an experienced guy like Jacques Martin, he wouldn't just be working on the defense and the penalty killing and all, but he'd kind of be a bug in Quinn's ear, kind of helping along with some things and everything too. I don't know how much that's happening, but there's a lot of guys on this team, even Rooney. RP mentioned on the power play putting out Hedl, Kako, and Lafreniere, but who's going to be the guy that's going to stand in front of the net then? Do you think Hedl is ready to be able to do that?
No.
I think Kako might be ready to do that. He's big enough.
Yeah.
He's got the hands. Maybe their speed can do it. What I'm trying to say is the guys that are there now aren't doing it.
No,
I agree with you.
That's
the point.
That's the point I'm trying to get at.
You got to change something up, Glenn. You got to do something different because this isn't working.
RP, I totally agree with you on that. I totally agree with you. It hasn't worked all season. So there's nothing wrong with doing a little experimentation. Like you said, if it doesn't work, then you change it to something else or you change it back. But I think with the power play, the way it's been going, I totally agree with you. Let's experiment a little bit and see if we can get a solid five out there that seems to click, and you know, maybe get some momentum going with the power play, because that hurts you in a division like this. You're totally right. I mean, you know, we know when you play Washington, when you play Pittsburgh, you don't want to take penalties because you don't want to give them too many power plays. But teams aren't afraid to take penalties on the Rangers because they know the power play is not that great, and they're also going to get some shorthanded opportunities too if they're lucky. So I totally agree with you, RP. We got to look for the coach to do some different things and just see what might click. I totally agree with you.
Lou, anything you'd like to add? Then we go back to RP because I got a couple of questions for all you guys. But Lou, anything else you'd like to add?
Well, when we get our throw line back, yeah, that'd be great. But let's see what they can do with it. I mean, they've been out for quite a while, and you know, it's gonna take them a while to get back into their flow. So although I'm happy to have them back, you know, in the near future, you know, I don't know if they're gonna be able to click right away. And you mentioned about, you know, the talented guys on the team. I also think Kako is very talented as well in his second or third year on the team.
Second year.
I think he's one of the most talented players on the team.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a soccer player though. Kako.
I'm sorry.
I was gonna say that was the point I was gonna bring up to you, Glenn, and RP. Like, because RP mentioned we got to get, you know, Blackwell in there, and I get that he's getting increased minutes, but do you want to really temper with that, because he would be taking minutes from Kako to Lou's point, and I like what Kako's been doing over the last, I don't know, 2 weeks as far as skating. He's been out there, he just hasn't converted, but he's been hustling. The shift's been fine for him, but that's the fine line with this type of roster, because if you increase the minutes for Blackwell, who's playing with Strom right now and Panarin, do you want Blackwell to be playing with Zibanejad and Kreider, RP and Glenn, or do you want to keep things as is and keep Kako's minutes between that 13 and 14 minute mark? Like that's the give and the take in all this.
I think at this point, like we were just saying, you're going to have Krapstov coming back and some other guys. I think you need to put the best 12 in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to have a first, second, and third line, which what the Rangers had a couple of seasons ago. If Lafreniere, let's just hypothetically, if it's Hito, Lafreniere, and Kako, and they're playing their best, then they should get more minutes than Zibanejad and Kreider. I don't think you need to put the line and the players out there that are getting the points and getting the scoring chances and getting the opportunities. I don't think we should be looking at line one, line two, line three, and line four.
Mm-hmm.
Give a shit who's line one, two, three, and four. If Blackwell is playing with Strom and Panarin and they have the best opportunities, they're playing two-way hockey and they're playing great with them, they're the top line tonight. That's how it goes. I think everyone gets too caught on the number of your line.
Yeah.
And this goes throughout the league. I don't care who the number one.
I wasn't looking at it.
I want to see 12 guys on the ice.
As far as time on the ice perspective, I wasn't looking at a line.
Well, no, but I understand
as far as
what
getting
you're saying, but I think if Kako is getting 15 minutes in a game or 13 minutes in a game, and he's not scoring, he's getting chances. And you got Blackwell, who's only getting 11 minutes in a game, but he's getting 2 or 3 points. You got to be playing Blackwell more at that point. And okay, so when it's Kako getting his minutes, you're 100% right, but are we looking to get guys minutes, or are you looking to make the playoffs?
No,
Blackwell is
question.
On fire
no,
the entire
that's,
season,
that's,
Steve.
That's my question
him
to you,
is,
RP. So that means, with that said, I'm cool with Blackwell getting more minutes. That means Kappel's going to sit, right? You got the deducting, right?
Well, someone's going to have to not get any ice time, and then they're going to bitch that Quinn isn't doing his job with the young guys. But if the Rangers are winning hockey games, no one's going to say squat.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's a team. I think that's what everyone's forgetting. Look, I've been the one along saying that Zibanejad should be dropped to the third line right now, and people say that's crazy. But he's not taking shots. He's not getting scoring chances because he's very hesitant. He got benched a couple of games ago just to get him going because Quinn didn't know what else to do. I mean, they moved Kreider down to the second and third line earlier, and all of a sudden he's putting the puck in the net left and right.
Yeah.
You can't be scared. You can't be – not scared. Bad word. Excuse me. The name on the back of the jersey can't dictate how you coach the team. Yes, you give them more respect and you expect more out of them, but there has to be a point, play the hot hand, not just in the third period, for a game. Blackwell's been playing really, really well. Gauthier's been playing really, really well. Lemieux and Howden have not. And yes, we need Lemieux's toughness and all, but it's just not happening. Howden is just struggling, and he's great on the penalty killing, yes, but everywhere else he is struggling. When does the time come when you go as a coach, I'm playing the best guys? Where do you put Kravtsov when he comes down? Who sits?
Yeah, all right.
Giuseppe's playing really well. Gauthier's playing really well. Blackwell's been playing well. I'm telling you guys, I'm going to sit Howden or Lemieux for Kravtsov before I take Blackwell or Gauthier out of the lineup.
Exactly.
It's just how it's got to be right now. But
yeah,
will
but
they do that?
Be playing? What line is he going to be playing?
Say that again?
What line
you
is he going to be playing
line,
on if
play
it's Howden or Lemieux for him? What line is he going to be playing on? I mean, I'm wondering
what
that. Where is
wherever you – that's the other problem, this mentality of bottom six guys. Maybe you have nine really good forwards. Someone's going to be considered the third line, right? But that's not how you have to play them. If this line is cooking, that's why you have to try to keep your combos together a little bit longer. Because if tonight Kravtsov's line is on fire, and we've seen this, these guys will come out and play great against the Penguins and just for some reason suck against the Islanders. Well, now you can mix it up. I'm going to play Zibanejad's line more tonight. They look really hot. Oh, they don't look good. I'm going to play Kravtsov's line tonight. I'm going to play Kako's line tonight. You can do that. But he's scared to do that. It just seems to me that he's playing names and not lines and not productivity. And we're going to have this problem when Kravtsov comes up. There's definitely going to be – now, I don't know if he's going to be – I mean, he played well in the KHL. He wasn't lighting it up, but he played very, very well, and he was getting a lot of opportunities. Somewhere, someone's got to be down. Competition is competition. If those are my best nine or best 12 tonight, well, then those guys sitting out play better next game. And it's not a penalty. It's not like when Quinn first came up and he was sitting guys for making mistakes after one stupid play. You need to start playing your best guys and then determine for a second, third, or fourth. It's the only way to do it. You know, it's not like the defenseman when he's kind of hamstrung with the same six guys because of injuries, COVID, and all. With the forwards, he's going to really be tied up now when Kravtsov comes. He's going to cause more problems than good in the beginning because you want to get him in the lineup. I mean, they had the problem when Panarin came back. They had to put Shesterkin on the IR because they know where to put Panarin. That can't be.
Yep.
Now, it worked out because Shesterkin is allowed to come back whenever he's physically ready to. But they need to – they just have a lot of good hockey players. They need really good hockey players. The bottom six don't need to be the bottom six. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, Steve. And remember, a couple of seasons ago, we used to say there is no first line on this team. All four lines were playing great. This was probably right before the rebuild started. They were all there was no first, second, third, or fourth line. Any line could play at any time. The Rangers could be like that right now if Quinn just shows a little testicular fortitude and doesn't look at the name on back of the sweater and just play the guys. I think he could definitely do it.
Yeah, when Kravtsov gets here, I expect it's probably going to, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because we talked about it last week with Brandon Lemieux with the healthy scratch. And I think his game is still kind of needed for this type of roster this year anyway. If there ever was an man out, we talked about adjustments for Quinn. I mean, that's why Rooney's playing center and they move Howden to the wing. Even to your point, RP, you said making adjustments. They're making even adjustments on the faceoffs trying to make up for the lack of productivity from Strome, not winning as many faceoffs as he should. Rooney's taking late game faceoffs over the bend of that when they're both on the ice. So there's a little bit of adjustments here and there. They're going to try to tinker with that, and we'll see. Glenn, anything else you'd like to add? Anything else we have not talked about or you want to bring up? You know the COVID with Fox and how that's going to go, the next couple of games with the Rangers, with the Philly and Washington games. What's your thoughts on that, Glenn? And then get to Lou, and then we'll get around the league for final thoughts.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time left, but one thing I do want to mention was that beautiful pass by Runinen to I think it was Panarin.
Panarin,
goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a beautiful pass, and I thought he played really well last night too. So it'll be interesting to see if he sticks him well. You know, Fox is going to come back, and There's just a multitude of very talented players that, you know, we knew were coming, and they're starting to come. And, you know, it's just a matter of finding the right roles for the right guys. I mean, the lines that we have, I mean, I don't think we have a number one line, really. You want to call it the Panarin line? You want to call it the Zibanejad line? I don't think we have a number one. They're kind of interchangeable. And, you know, guys like Hedl, I mean, a line of Hedl, Lafreniere, and Kako is the future. I would love to see those guys stay together and kind of develop a chemistry between the three of them, because they're the number one line in a couple of years, probably, if they stay together. It's just a matter of finding the right roles for some of the guys that you got to keep in the lineup. You know, guys like Blackwell and, you know, Rooney's winning faceoffs. And, you know, like you mentioned, Steve, even Lemieux needs to be around with a team like this, because you got a lot of young kids that aren't particularly physical. So it's just finding the right roles for these guys and putting them in the right place and letting them go. And it's going to be interesting to see what the coach does as far as juggling these guys in and out of the lineup, because it's going to be interesting.
Cool. Lou, anything else you'd like to add? And then we'll get final thoughts from that.
No, I think pretty much covers it right there.
All right, cool. Shout out to Lou. Thank you very much. Glenn, your final thoughts going forward. Who we got? I know we got two Washington games, the Philly game. I think this is going to come around. I'm being optimistic. I just need to see everybody there before I can have a really full assessment. But like RP said, we got like half the games through. And until we actually have everything there, I can't really jump the gun, man, because it's hard. I know when it looks like we struggle versus Pittsburgh and it looks whack out of whack with Boston. And I got to be patient on my own assessment when we're at full strength. And I think we're going to see some better hockey out of this team, consistent hockey. I really do believe that. Glenn, your final thoughts, anything around the rest of the NHL, anything with the blue shirts, your final thoughts, Glenn NYR on Twitter. And then, of course, the honorable RP after that.
Yeah, again, I think this team is going to be better. I think they're going to be interesting to watch for the rest of the season and see how things unfortunately, I don't know if you guys saw, Boston just beat Pittsburgh, so now we're 8 points out of the playoffs. Washington beat the Islanders, so they're, like, gone. They've won, like, five or six in a row. So it's going to be a tough stretch. It's going to be tough to try and make the playoffs, but you know, like you say, for now, we're still within shouting distance. There's still, you know, 30 or so games left. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But it's going to be tough. And every game in this division is critical. They can't afford to be giving away points. I mean, that's like a broken record. I've been saying that all year. And, you know, it's just we're going to have to kind of deal with the ups and downs until they start putting it together and we see a lot more ups and downs. So another critical week coming up.
All right, Glenn, anything from around the league, the rest of the league, that any other games? I know you watch a lot of hockey. Anything from other games you were impressed or not impressed by? You know, McDavid with 50-plus points. You know, our leader has half that. Bucinovic, what would you thought? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're starting to see around the league, for the most part, the divisions are starting to solidify as far as who's going to be in the playoffs and who isn't. You know, Colorado's been playing very well lately. Vegas has been playing really well. You know, I think we're starting to see who's going to be in the playoffs. The gaps are starting to widen in a number of the divisions. So not really much for me to say about that other than what, you know, people are probably already seeing in the standings. But no, it's been a good year. It's been a great year for hockey. I'm watching hockey every night and just loving it, you know. So,
yes, sir.
That's
absolutely.
All I got to say.
Shout out to
right now.
Yeah, man, definitely. Thank you very much, Glenn. RP Ranger Prep, your final thoughts.
Yeah, you know, from around the league, we may be complaining about the Rangers, but thank God we're not Buffalo Sabre fans, because that is one hurting hockey club, guys. 0-9-1 in their last 10. I mean, they lost to the Devils tonight. It feels like they haven't won a hockey game in some time in February. I mean, they are a struggling team. I'm very surprised they haven't made a coaching change just to show the fan base that they know what the hell's going on over there. I'm really not into the trade talks with Eichel. I know people think I'm crazy, but I'm seeing rumors of, you know, them asking for, you know, Kako and Lafreniere, which is just, I just don't see how you can give up on two guys like that. As great as Eichel is, he might be great, but he's not doing much during this streak, and now he's been hurt. But the Buffalo Sabres are a really, really hurting hockey team. And yeah, I guess it could always be worse, right, guys? So with the Rangers, they just need to just get better in some spots, you know. We really need goaltending to improve. I mean, Shesterkin out and Gorgiev just struggling, and Kincaid's a third-string goalie or second-string goalie for a reason. It shows, and for a club that for so many years didn't really look at the goaltending, you know, we went from Mike Richter and Lundqvist, and we were very lucky with all of that. Now we're starting to feel what a lot of other teams are feeling, and that might be the biggest surprise of them all, because I don't think anyone expected the Bouchers to struggle in net. Gorgiev looked really good at the backup last year, and I'm sure all of us are saying, well, he'll, you know, he'll be able to hold the team above water while Shesterkin was hurt, and it just hasn't happened. And, you know, I don't know how long does it take Shesterkin to get back into the groove whenever he comes back, because we all know how groin injuries are. I think that's why the Rangers are keeping him out longer to make sure he doesn't get a reoccurrence, because a reoccurrence would probably knock him out for the remainder of the season. And, you know, this is a young team, same thing that we always heard, but it is the truth. I mean, there's a difference when you see the Bruins and the Penguins and the Capitals and the Islanders playing, and then you look at the Rangers, there's just a huge gap difference, and it's expected. So just got to kind of ride this wave out. Let's see what happens when Kravtsov comes back, and hopefully Buchnevich, DiGiuseppe, and Fox can get off the protocol list tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Otherwise, they're going to miss another game tomorrow night. They were on the protocol list today, which wasn't promising. So we're just going to have to ride that out and just hope it doesn't get worse with the team. And just take it a game at a time. Like you said, Steve, it's another tough couple of games ahead of us. Philly, two with the Capitals. We get Buffalo, and then two with Philly, and then two with the Capitals again. So it's a lot of Washington and Philadelphia here, and they're going to have to find a way to win these hockey games. They just can't let these points slide by. When March is over, they could really be on the outside looking at him.
Yeah.
I'm calling 6 points. By the time we get back to this next Tuesday, 6 points for the Rangers.
You're calling 6 points? So you think we're going to go 3-1?
Yes.
Wow. That's optimistic, brother.
Yeah. All right, so that's 1-0.
I'm just hoping it could be Buffalo. And I'm not being sarcastic.
You know, you got to figure
Buffalo's going to win a game somewhere. Probably going to be right playing us because we have no luck. I tell you what.
I'm banking on Buffalo. I'm
hoping they can get 4 points out of the next four games.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I would be cool with 4 points. I think we could get six. I'm leaning.
I would love six. I would love six.
I think we can. Listen, man, it got away from us.
You know something? I think the problem with me going with that is I'm just not comfortable with the goaltending. These guys haven't made a big save all season.
Nope.
I mean, a game here and there, but overall, you can never. We don't have a goalie that can steal a game right now, and you need that.
Yeah.
You need that. You need a game when Washington gets 30 shots on goal and only one gets in, and we win 3-1. We haven't had that, and I don't know why. Gorgiev is a good goaltender. He should be the one playing all these games, not Kincaid. And I'm not mocking Kincaid. It's just, you know, when the script was written at the beginning of the season, Kincaid was here to protect Gorgiev from the expansion draft. That's why before the whole taxi squad thing came up and all. Now we're depending on him to get wins, and it's not happening. That's why I think
I think the situation with Kincaid was he didn't see a lot of shots versus the Bruins in that second game, but he played well for what they gave him.
That's another
thing I forgot to bring up on Saturday. Like, I never felt great as Boston is. I never felt threatened the way the Rangers rallied around Panarin coming back. Like, it felt like watching that game. It felt like the Bruins were never a threat. Like, everything was in sync. Kincaid, whatever he saw, he was there in position. He was reactive. The defense was just kept Boston at bay. And I think this is why I'm optimistic. I think the Rangers have a lot of those in them. And then the second period yesterday was like, wow, I think they could do a lot more of this. I really do believe that. And this is why I lean heavy with the 6 points, because when you get starting to get guys back and you start to get comfortable and, you know, we could play positionless lines and all that. If you got hustle plays like Blackwell and Gauthier, hey, man, I like our chances. You know, I really do. I really do.
Well, I hope you're right. I truly do. But we're going to know right away because Philadelphia was a struggling team coming, and they had given up 3-plus goals in 8 straight games, and the Rangers found a way to lose that hockey game. That's that's a game they needed. They said it last night. The Rangers really needed the 2 points last night, whether it was the shootout, overtime, whatever. So let's just hope you're right. I'd love to see them get 6 out of 8 because – if they don't, it's just going to get harder and harder.
All right. My final thoughts real around the league. Listen, man, I don't know if you, Glenn, if you've been watching the Wild. They've been playing fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's I thought they were okay, but Kaprizov, Zuccarello, Jordan Greenway, you got to watch some of these Wild games. If after the Rangers game, while they're playing, you got to see them. They played well versus Vegas. Teams like that in their division. I like what they're doing. Now, life after Eric Staal, I didn't think, putting it together, especially on their road games, they've been phenomenal. And this is another team I've always kind of brought up, RP, over the years. Well, even since Quinville got there. Florida kind of got off to the slow start because of the lack of games of COVID. I didn't think they would be leading the division and Carolina. Now, maybe Tampa Bay will put something together in that division. I don't know. What's your guys' thoughts on if you have seen any Florida Panther hockey? I think they had a game versus Nashville. I watched the last week, and they looked very good in that game. What's your thoughts, if you have any, on the other divisions, RP and Glenn?
You want to go first, RP?
No, I think Florida's definitely been a surprise. You see, Bobrovsky found his game. He's been playing really well. They had another Russian rookie that they were talking about. I can't remember his name, that fit right in with the team. Quinville's coaching them great. And you know something? This is how they thought they were going to play last year, and it didn't work out for them. So I'm not totally surprised how they're playing. I'm surprised that they've been so consistent with it. What, do they only have 6 losses on the season? They've been playing really well, so definitely a surprise. I haven't seen many of their games. I've been reading a lot about them. I haven't really been able to caught many of their games in person, but they've definitely been a surprise.
Yeah, well, I think Florida, you know, you figured Quinville, being such a good coach, was going to turn that team around at some point. The thing with them is they've been getting some great goaltending from Dredger, do you pronounce his name? Been getting great goaltending from him, and that team can score. I mean, they got guys on that team that can score almost at will. So I'm kind of surprised they're as good as they have been, but not surprised that they're, you know, one of the top teams in that division. As far as Minnesota, you are so right, Steve. I mean, they've been getting great goaltending from Kakinen, from guys that you wouldn't expect. I mean, Zouk's been great. The one thing about them now is Marcus Foligno is out for a few weeks. I think he got hit in the foot with a shot, and he's going to be out for a few weeks, and he's been really great for them, and I'm wondering how much that's going to affect Erickson Ek, who's also been, you know, that line has been their big line. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can overcome that injury and how it affects the rest of the team. But, yeah, Minnesota is I thought they were going to be one of the bottom teams in the league, and they've been a huge surprise. You're so right about that.
Yeah, they have. And there was one game, if you saw the game last week, the overtime game where Vegas and St. Louis, that was a fantastic game. That was the return of, what's his name? 91 Terry.
Tarasenko?
Tarasenko, there you go.
Tarasenko?
Vegas was up, I think, a couple of goals in that game. St. Louis came back. It was like nice back and forth, open free hockey. And the only thing I didn't get to see was Pietrangelo go up against his former team. I think he was out, but just try to keep tabs around the league, man, if I can, you know, our squads and you know, Rangers alone, that's just a headache. You know, the, you know, we got to argue with Rangers Twitter and then civil war within our own fan base and our operations, yeah. Try to get the rest of the games in the league. But, guys, it was good talking. We'll be back next Tuesday. I don't think we have a post game next week, so we'll be back at 9. 6 points, man. Hold me to the fire. If we don't,
hope you're right.
Hold me out.
Hope you're right.
Shout-outs to the guys, man. RP, Glenn, Lou, and myself, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, The Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud here on the Bleed Blue Show. Hungry SO, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.